internet, for all of you here in the building whose dad is not with you today. But thank the Lord, if they know the Lord, you know where they are. Amen. I have had wonderful men older than myself through the years from the time I was a boy playing church league baseball and all that, guys who were men who were guides to my life. They were a blessing. Recently, we at the fire thing, the family day, I met Janie's daddy, Andrew's girlfriend, and his granddaddy was the best friends of another man in Roanoke Rapids where I was raised. His name was Lewis Hasty. I've mentioned him probably in some sermons you've heard. And I thought about that. I was thinking about all the men. And some of you are in the internet and in here, you're not natural fathers, but you have been and can be and ought to be a father to so many other children. I thank the Lord for that. Brother Barry stood up this morning. He said, "How'd you like to be the first one to start teaching after camp meeting, all that preaching? I wished I could turn around and introduce you somebody to preach to you this morning, but you're going to have to sit down and do this for a few minutes and a half before we leave." Brad always says I do better if I got 15 minutes, and I ain't got quite 15 minutes. But I want you to look, and that's okay that I knew what today would be. But look at John chapter 10. I had intended to read this whole chapter just because I love it. In fact, I love all of them. But John chapter 10, for the sake of time, I will just begin reading with verse number 25. Jesus said unto them, I've told you, they are asking him now. He's just talked about the shepherd and sheep, and they are saying, you tell us plainly, you just be specific, are you the Son of God? Are you the Christ or not? And look at verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Will you bow with me for prayer for just a moment? Father, thank you. Lord, I have been blessed already with the wonderful singing of the congregation and the choir. Our Father, thank you, Lord, for blessing us with the Ollis family this morning. Our Father, in recognizing these men today, as these men stood around the building, God, I know them and I know their example. I know how they love the Lord and how they love the church and how they love you, their children. And God, what a blessing it is to have a father that you can look to and depend on and God, that would give great guidance. And thank you for giving godly men in this church. And Lord, I'm thankful for your blessing on us and Lord, all that you've done for us. Now, Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God would speak. Lord, if there's a person here that does not have a heavenly Father, I pray, God, that they'd be saved either here in the building or in the internet audience. But God, I pray that we would love and grow closer every day to our Father, which art in heaven. And God, I thank you now that I can bow and confess that I'm nothing, no good thing in me, but God, you loved me and you died for me and adopted me into your family. God, I'm glad I can say my Father, and God, you can say my Son. God, thank you for that, and I give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name, amen. One of my favorite Father's Day texts, and no doubt over these 20-something years I've been here, I've probably preached on it before. But look with me, please, back in verse 29, John 10, verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. Now, I highlighted not all of that first part of that verse, but just five words. I underlined and highlighted the first two words. And it says, my Father. And then I noticed it. I highlighted this phrase, greater than all. My father, greater than all. There used to be a saying when I was a boy growing up, we used to say it back and forth, say, my daddy can whoop your daddy. You know, you get down through here, and that's kind of the way the little conversation went, my daddy can whoop your daddy. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, your daddy can whoop anybody. Amen. If you know the Lord, he's greater than all. What a unique situation we have in this passage of Scripture. My father, he said, is greater than all. And his father is our father. Think about this in the covenant of grace. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And then the Bible said that Christ gave his life for us. And then it said in this passage of Scripture that Jesus said, my father gave them me. In other words, God gave his son, Christ gave his life, then God the Father gave you to the Father, and then Jesus said, and I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. There's a whole lot of giving going on right there. And what a blessing to be in part of that covenant. Our Father is greater. You think about your Heavenly Father. I don't know anything about your earthly fathers. Some of you had good and godly fathers. Some of you may have had absent fathers. You may have never even known your daddy. Brother Roy Rigdon was raised by an aunt, and he was not, Father's Day, Mother's Day were not some of his best days because he was orphaned or abandoned, really, and raised by his aunt. But, you know, God's good to us. And I'm glad that God can be your father. He can be your father. And if he is, he's greater than all. I was just writing down a few things as I began to just think about my Heavenly Father. In regard to power, he is more powerful than anybody or anything. In regard to riches, he has resources unlimited. He owns everything. In regard to his accessibility. Some of you have a daddy that's in heaven now. Some of you have a daddy that lives far away from you and you don't have access to him. But our Heavenly Father is always near. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's always here. He's greater. Oh, he said, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. All, that means all, greater than all. He's greater than all of our enemies. And he talks here about that in the shepherd and the sheep. He said, the hireling fleeth, but not the shepherd. He stays with the sheep. And he's greater. I don't care any demon that comes against you, the devil himself that comes against you. He said, if you'll submit yourself to God, to your Father, the devil will flee from you. He's greater than all of your enemies. You say, Brother Billy, I've got a lot of enemies. David had tons of them. But David learned a lesson. If you go through the Psalms, you'll find it out. He quit thinking about his enemies and started thanking his Father for who he was and that he was going to take care of him. He's greater than all of your enemies. But thank God he's greater than all our sins. There are some sins that would cause us to be separated. Sometimes things happen in families that are, it seems like that relationship is unrepairable. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's no sin you've ever committed that he wouldn't receive you back graciously. And he gave a whole parable about that in the prodigal son. The Bible says that boy wanted all that he had and he gave it to him. And then it said he wasted it in riotous living. He brought his daddy's name into disrespect. He broke their relationship. He left home, wasted everything the father gave him. But when he came back, the Bible said the father fell on his neck and kissed him. Can I tell you right now, he's greater than all of your sin. You say, God wouldn't forgive me. My father, I've done so many things to hurt him. The devil's a liar. He said, if you confess your sin, he's faithful just to cleanse you from all iniquity. Listen, our father's greater than all of your sin. He's greater than all of your needs. Now, your children think you're the richest person in the world. And when they're young, they want this, that, and other. You say, I don't have any cash. They say, write a check. Because they believe you've got an unlimited bank account. But I'll tell you right now, you've got one. Your Heavenly Father has got it. He's rich. And he's got it all. everything that you ever need. But not only you, look at just a little small crowd in here this morning. I don't know how many we got, a couple of hundred or more. But you know what? God meets every one of their needs. If you look across this county, He meets all of their needs. Across this state, He meets all of their needs. Look in the United States, He meets all of their needs. The whole continent, of every continent, the whole world, He meets all of their needs. Besides that, He feeds the birds and all the animals. He is limitless in His resources. He's rich. He can meet every need you've got. My God shall supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Why? Because He's greater than any need you've got. You can't tell it. You go, there's some things that if you ask me, if I could, with financial resources, there's a limit because there's just so much I can do, so much access to what I have. But He has an unlimited resource. He's got anything you need. God will take care of His children. He's greater than all of your diseases. He demonstrated that while He was on the earth. He's able to touch and to heal. You say, well, Brother Billy, how come He don't heal everybody? I don't know why He doesn't heal them here, but He does heal everybody. He does heal everybody. I just did the funeral for little Brittany Carroll. Of course, she would be 34 years old, her birthday in October. She wasn't supposed to live an hour, and she lived two. She wasn't supposed to live a day, and she kept on living. And then they said no more than a week, and then no more than a month, and then they said she won't make it the first year. And the family said, after they kept saying it over and over again for several years, when she was 10 years old, they just quit saying it. Said, we don't have no idea how long she'll live. And I thought it unique at her funeral. I mentioned the fact, isn't it unique? Her birthday is in October. She died in June. She lived 33 and a half years. That's the same age Jesus was when He died. That's a pretty good way to go, isn't it? Amen. Thank God for that. You say, Brother Billy, she's spinal bifida, couldn't ever walk. How come He didn't ever heal her? Oh, He did heal her. He did heal her. And she don't even remember not being able to walk. She's in heaven right now, and she's doing something she's never done. But boy, I got to thinking about her mama, Becky. Her daddy, Lynn, died first, but her mama had severe diabetes. And y'all will remember, they started with one foot and they took off some toes and took off half that foot. Then they took off that foot. Then they took it off up to the knee. The next thing you know, the next leg started doing the same thing. And she died sometime and through all those several amputations, she died. When she died, she had both legs gone from the knee down. She died like that. Never walked. Was in bed for a good long time before she died. Her daughter couldn't walk. Been in a wheelchair all of her life. But they were on this past Tuesday doing something they hadn't been able to do ever in their whole life. They're running up streets of gold together, shouting and praising God. Heaven's a real place. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. He's greater than all your diseases. He might hear you here, but He'll see you heal after a while. And He's greater than any disease you ever had. They say cancer took her. No, it didn't either. Cancer might have sent her, but it didn't take her. She left the cancer here and she took off, went to glory. Same way with stroke, Alzheimer's. Oh, it's a horrible, horrible disease. But does it take lives? It'll take that physical life, but it won't take them. That Alzheimer's will be left behind. They'll be alive, more alive than they've ever been, and be in their right mind and know even as they're known in heaven. Thank God for that. He's greater than all your diseases. He's greater than all your failures. I wish I could say, and you all wish you could say, we never had failed the Lord. But I remember sitting right over at the piano one night, did camp meeting some years ago. Brother Craig Edwards sang a song he wrote, though I've failed the Lord, He's never failed me. And I failed Him, you failed Him too. But He's greater than all your failures. He's greater. You know, the family was against Joseph, and he said, the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Can I tell you, that could be repeated in your life. Some of the things you've done, some of the things, the weaknesses you've had, time when you disobeyed God and you shouldn't have. The devil meant it for evil, but God turned it around and God used it for His glory, and He'll forgive all of your sin. He's greater than all your sorrow. He's able to heal your broken heart. He's able to help you through these troubled times. I remember, I repeat myself, but it's vivid in my mind, a young man in our church and a young lady in our church in Reedsville, both of them very intelligent, very industrious, worked hard all the way through high school, worked hard not only academically, but in the home and in public jobs and everywhere else. They were workers. They loved God. They had wonderful personalities. She going down to school in Charlotte, and he was here at NC State, and he was going to be graduated and had some special recognition, and she wanted to surprise him. And she going to UNC in Charlotte, and she was coming back up to surprise him right up there somewhere off of US 1 or the Beltline or somewhere. She came down the ramp, and when she did, a tractor trailer hit her and killed her. She was coming up to surprise him for his special day. I remember going to the house. I never seen such a young man crying all my life. He was broken and weeping, and just said, and he said, "Preacher, I'm not mad with God. I just wish he'd tell me why." And I had to preach that funeral. And I tell you what, I didn't know what to say. I read the book of Revelation. God just led me there strangely. And it said this, and on his vesture was written the word faithful. And I said, "Brian, I'll tell you one thing. I don't have the answer, but he is faithful. He'll be with you. He'll stay with you. He'll carry you through this sorrow." And he did. God did. And thank God for that. Amen. He's greater than all of our failures. He's greater than all of our sorrows. And he's greater than all of our fears, greater than any fear you've got. David said, "What time I'm afraid, I'm going to trust in the Lord." Just focus on your father. As long as your daddy's with you. I read some time ago about a ship crossing the Atlantic Ocean. It had gotten a very violent storm. The captain of that ship was on the bridge, and he said to his first mate, he said, "Go downstairs and check on my daughter." And he said, "I'm sure she's afraid now." And that guy, first mate, went down there. She's in the bunk, and everything in the little cabin was falling all over where she's sound asleep. And he shook her and woke her up and said, "Honey, are you all right?" And she said, "What's going on?" And he said, "We're in a terrible storm." She said, "Is my daddy at the wheel?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "We'll be all right." And she turned over and laid back down. I don't care what kind of storm you're in, what you're going through, as long as he's at the wheel, you'll be all right. And your daddy is greater than all your fears. You just trust his power and trust his presence. But can I say this to you? He's greater in his love than any earthly father's ever been. Some of you have loving fathers. I mean, and they express it to you in so many different ways, and thank God for that. And we ought to do that. But there's never been anybody who loved you like Jesus. Never been a father like God the Father. Greater in his scope of his love. The Bible said he loved the whole world. Greater in the sincerity of his love. You know what? Every one of you feel this way. And Rochester, they're the first ones I ever heard it, they sang it. But it said, he loves me like I was his only child. And you know what? We feel like we're the favorite. Most of us do. But he loves you in his sincerity. He loves every one of us the same. He loves us in the strength of his love. It says in the Song of Solomon that fire cannot quench that love. Thank God for his love. He loves you. Thank God. And you know what? It's all because you're his child. That to get to be a child of a father, there's two ways. One, you could be birthed into that family, or you could be adopted into that family. And thank God, those of you who are saved, and thank God I am, I got both of them. I got birthed and adopted all at the same time. We're double blessed. He loved us, and we're his. And listen, I want to read this verse to you. You're part of his covenant of grace. He made you a promise. For the mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Mountains will fall, the hills will go away, but his mercy, his love, his covenant will never be broken to us. Thank God for that. This week, I was riding along and I was listening in camp meeting. I had gone somewhere. Oh, I know where it was. I did the funeral on Thursday, and I was coming back towards the church Thursday afternoon late after the funeral for Brittany. and I was listening to the station in Dunn. They were doing special, I don't forget which program it was, but they were something about fathers, and somebody was interviewing gospel music individuals and playing some Father's Day music and talking with different artists, singers, about their fathers or in whatever. But to talk to this one fellow, I don't remember his name. He's a part of a very famous Southern gospel group. I don't know any circumstances other than this, that several years ago, he and a young lady got married and she already had two children. I don't know the details. I don't know if her husband had died or whatever. But he raised those girls as his own. And they were talking about Father's Day and gifts. Those girls grew to be beautiful young ladies. And he said, the greatest Father's Day gift I have ever received. They had natural children besides his two stepchildren. But he said, my two youngest daughters, that's the daughters, two daughters that he had when they married. He said, they gave me a card. And he said, it's the best gift I've ever gotten. It said, thank you for being the dad that you didn't have to be. And my heart broke. And while I was riding, I raised my eyes toward heaven and I said, thank you for being the dad that you didn't have to be. I was lost and wicked on my way to hell, but you adopted me. He didn't have to do that, but he did. Aren't you glad? Amen. And can I tell you that he'll do the same thing for you? He wants to save you. He wants to be your daddy. And you'd better make sure that you've had a new birth and that he's not only God, but he's your father. Let's bow together for prayer. While we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder today, we've recognized dads. Thank you, fathers, for being here. We had a house full. Thank God for the good, godly men that are here, daddies. We've honored a few. We honored all of you, but we honored some particularly. And I'm thankful for all of them. But the greatest honor today belongs to our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, for being the Father you didn't have to be. You didn't need me, but I sure needed you. I didn't have anything to offer to you. Lost, alienated from God. But you loved me and saved me and adopted me into your family. God, that's grace. We got what we did not deserve. Thank you, Lord, for what you did for us. Lord, I don't know who's saved in this building, not men, women, boys, and girls. But I know that you want them to be your children. I pray they hear your voice. I pray, God, they respond to the message that Jesus Christ loved them and died for them, and that they can be saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray they do it now. And God, as we honor our earthly fathers today, make us ever grateful that you're our Father. Now, Lord, there might be some in here who are children of the King, that you're their Father. You haven't moved. You hadn't gone anywhere, but they have. Their love for you has cooled, but you love them with an everlasting love. They've turned from your book. They've turned from your place of worship. They've not been as faithful as they ought to be. Or maybe they are here physically, but not spiritually. God, I pray that they need to get around this altar for just a few minutes. And Lord, ask you to forgive them and purge them like that prodigal. You'd do that for them. And God, I pray, God, that there's some here this morning whose hearts are just overwhelmed with gratitude. And they want to come and just say, thank you for being my Father that you didn't have to be. Let's stand together, my dear friend. Let's just obey the Lord while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed for just a moment. Brother Brad's going to sing. And I invite you to come around this altar. First of all, if you're saved, if God's blessed you to be His child, you may want to come just say, thank you, Lord, for saving me, for being my daddy. If you're His child and you've not been faithful, you might want to come and ask Him to forgive you and purge you and fill you afresh. But if you're lost, you might want to just ask Him to save you and make you a child of the King. I invite you to come right now. Come on right now while Brad sings. We'll not keep you long. We just want you to be able to respond to the Holy Ghost of God. We invite you to come. While these many are coming now, you come. If I can help you pray with you in any particular way, I'll be glad to do it. Come on, just obey God this morning. Thank you so much for obeying the Lord. Maybe the Holy Ghost of God ran by your mind about how good He's been to you, how He's blessed you and met your need. Please take time where you are if you don't come forward to thank Him.